The next principle we need to address is that of emotional triggers. Now, emotional triggers were first discovered at the turn of the last century, in about 1901 or 1902. A Russian researcher called Ivan Pavlov is most famous for discovering emotional triggers in what are called Pavlov's dogs. You probably have already heard about them. In this experiment, Dr. Pavlov would take dogs and offer them some food, but just before he would shoot these food pellets down a tube into their mouths, he would ring a bell. Over a short period of time, the dog's mind associated the sound of the bell with the arrival of food, which meant that the actual sound of the bell would actually create salivation in the dogs, and this is an automatic nervous system function, something the dogs should have no control over. Now, people were fascinated by this because it's a very graphic example of how an activity which is outside of our conscious control can be brought into our conscious control by the way that we create triggers that set off that very same thing. Now, whilst a lot of people give Dr. Pavlov the credit for discovering these trigger mechanisms, known as conditioned responses in traditional psychology, these conditioned reflexes were actually discovered much earlier by an American doctor called William Twitmeyer. Now, he actually discovered something very interesting because he was the first man to have discovered the knee-jerk reflex, where if you hit someone on the soft part of the knee, they end up jerking the reflex, straightening the leg out. Now, as Dr. Twitmeyer was carrying out his research, he discovered that after several, maybe 50 or 100 repetitions of actually striking the small hammer onto the soft part of the knee and straightening the leg out, that just the act of lifting the hammer as though it was about to strike would cause people to accidentally straighten out their leg totally unconsciously. This is a very powerful example of an unconscious trigger being implanted. Now, these triggers have been known to hypnotists actually for a long, long time now, in the form of post-hypnotic suggestions. And I'd really like to think of these emotional triggers as post-hypnotic suggestions that you can create for yourself. Now, some of these triggers, especially the emotional triggers, will already be created by the environment. So natural triggers will be things like this holiday song. Everyone has this holiday which they've been on maybe when they were younger or in a particular summer. And during that holiday, they heard one particular song over and over again, and it became an association in their mind. So that whenever they hear that very same song, they just go back in their mind and relive and re-experience that beautiful holiday. Other examples of naturally occurring triggers might be like things like the smell of baking bread, which takes a lot of people back to maybe their grandmother's house or a place in which they grew up in. Other similar things would be the scent of perfume, the sound of someone's voice, a certain tonality, a certain phrase, a certain picture. Advertising works on this. Advertising makes a lot of products so prevalent inside your mind that you recognize the packaging. So when you walk through a supermarket, the one packaging that stands out is in the color and the shapes and the forms that have been advertised to you. So these triggers abound everywhere you go. And your purpose as a conversational hypnotist will be to be able to create your own hypnotic triggers so that you can begin to trigger people into emotional states and get certain behaviors as well as thought patterns out of people. Now, how do you do this? Well, the basic rules for implanting a hypnotic trigger in someone is to first of all follow the 4-stage protocol you learned all the way back on CD1. To refresh your memory, the 4-stage hypnotic protocol for conversational hypnosis is this. Number 1, absorb someone's attention. Number 2, bypass their critical thinking. Get rid of the guardian that holds onto the gate. Number 3, activate an unconscious response. Any unconscious response is fine, because step 4 will take the response you've activated unconsciously and utilize it or lead it in a new direction, the direction that becomes useful for you in whatever you happen to be doing. Now, the 4-stage protocol by itself won't actually implant a hypnotic trigger. What it will do is set the scene, lay the groundwork in which you can actually create your own emotional triggers, your own hypnotic triggers, which you can then fire off or use later on at will. So, assuming you've induced a pleasant trance, you've bypassed the critical thinking, and you have the unconscious mind playing ball with you, what do you need to do in order to be able to set a trigger? Well, the first thing you do is you have to access a clear state. So if you want someone to be, for example, be concentrated, you need to have a pure state of concentration. If you want them to be relaxed, they have to be purely relaxed. If you want them to be happy and excited, they need to be purely happy and excited. They can't have a mix of different states. For example, happy with a sense of regret, or relaxed but a sense of tension when they think about certain things. Because if you have a mixed state, all that your trigger will do is it'll trigger off the same mixed state. So be sure to get a clear state, and we'll find out later on in this particular CD how to do this. Once you have a clear state, you can set your trigger. Now you can set your trigger in any one of the senses. You can make it a smell, a taste, a touch, a sound, or something that someone can see. Of all those senses, the easiest ones to work with are the last three. Something you do so they can see it, something they can hear, so in other words, something you say, or like in Pavlov's dogs, the bell that you ring, or something that you do in the sense that they can feel it, a physical touch. Because these things will be things that you can recreate later and reuse. Once you've set your trigger, you will condition the trigger, maybe by a few repetitions, and then, very importantly, you will test the trigger. In other words, you will clear the mind, you will maybe distract them by something, and then you'll fire off your trigger again. And if it activates the emotional state that you'd set in the first place, well, then you know your trigger's working. So, over the course of this CD, we're going to look at how to create a state in someone, how to intensify that state in someone, and then how to use those particular states in order to activate or generate certain kinds of behaviors.